Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast. And if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
We all should be living our life on mission. And it's actually me as an individual and you as an individual living out our mission is the way that we're going to accomplish the Great Commission, which is taking the gospel to everyone, everywhere. We also learned that to do that, if we're going to follow through with Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, we have to also follow the Great Commandment found in Matthew 22. Which is saying to us, love your Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're going to pick up there today and build off of that. And we're going to be looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles or apps, go ahead and turn there. We're going to be looking at some key themes. And in these themes, what you're going to find is God's will for your life. So if you ever come to me, and people do, I'm trying to discern what's God's will for my life, here it is. Here it is. It's going to explain to us. And not only is he going to explain this purpose that we have and the will that God has for each and every one of us, we're also going to see how to do that, what it actually looks like, and the importance of it. And I'm thankful for this passage. I'm thankful for God's word, the truth of it, that actually can show us and how we can have purpose. You know, everybody is looking for purpose, to do things that are significant. Can I tell you, there's nothing more significant than what we're going to talk about today when we put that in the context of living our life on mission. And we sang that song and we talked about sharing the love into the world, taking his love into the world. And so we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start in verse 14. But before I do that, I have to give a shout out to our tech team. They do a lot of things that you never see and probably never notice. But this morning, I read from a different version than I had given them to put on the screen. So Jenna, it's not your, I know, you don't have to tell everybody you see. That was Todd's fault. It was my fault. But they do a lot of great work, and they've already switched the verses. So glad you're here at second service instead of the first. So let's go to God's word. I'm going to read through verse 21. It says this, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. From now on, we will regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This passage explains why we're here. It explains why that when a person comes to faith in Christ and they put their trust in what he did for them on the cross to be sufficient payment for their sin, that we're not immediately raptured up into heaven and then enjoy eternity with God. That's coming, but he doesn't do that, and this tells us why. It tells us why you are still here on this planet. We're here to live a life on mission, to be ministers of reconciliation. And I sometimes wonder why God would choose to use us to make his appeal to other people. Because we're weak. Because we're people. We're fallen. We're broken. But he does. And that's what he has chosen for us. Mother's Day is coming. And I know for some, that's not as happy of a day as it used to be. I know for Karen, lost her mom years ago. And she still is sad on Mother's Day. Wouldn't it be great if Karen was with her mom celebrating in heaven, that just as soon as we come to faith, we just get raptured up and there we are for eternity? It would be. Instead of struggling out, living life here with all the hardships and all the difficulties, think about the things that you've overcome. Think about things you're facing, health, relationships. It's hard. Think about our bodies. This is how chapter 5 starts. It talks about our bodies are breaking down. Last Saturday, what a beautiful day. It's like the best day we've had in like 10 months, I think, right? It's been a long time, and so I was out in the yard and doing some stuff. Nothing major. I was just basically playing outside like I used to do with a kid, and I make it look like I was working. And what happened was my brain wrote a check that my body could not cash. I woke up Sunday morning, was going to do Discovering WCC. I could hardly get out of bed. I almost decided to not wear socks. I couldn't put my socks on. I hurt so bad. These bodies are breaking down, aren't they? And yet God has us here. And it's for a purpose. His purposes. So let's go through this text and see if you can identify what these principles are, what this mission should look like. Verse 14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Did you catch that last part? Our lives are no longer our own. That's this new life that we've been given. Is to be lived with and through him. Your life isn't yours anymore. The new life that you have is his. But the verse starts with this compelling thought about what love can do, and that is not just compel us, but control us. Paul starts with the motivation for living your life on mission, and this is where we have to start. This is the Matthew 22 that Denny talked about. This is the basis for you living your life on mission. It has to start with his love. His love, and other versions say things like, it controls us, it compels us, it constrains us, it motivates us, it can empower us. That's what his love is supposed to do. Why is that so important? Because if you want to become a friend of someone and you want to share Christ with them and you befriend them, do you know how easy it is for them to become a project if you don't love them? A lot of our relationships are very transactional, and so this idea that if love is at the heart of it, because you actually love them and you lean into relationship and you love them enough to get your hands dirty and live a messy life with them, that you're open and vulnerable and so are they, and they have needs and you have needs, that's loving them. That's the difference when we approach that, because we love them and because God loves them. The ability to love someone enough to share Christ with them. They have no greater need. We have no greater need. If you really love someone and you want to be part of loving them the way Christ does, which is meeting needs, physical, emotional, and otherwise, but the greatest need anyone has is the need for forgiveness, so that they can have a relationship with God. Have a diagram that the team put together to maybe help us to see how this could possibly work in the relationship between Christ and his love for me. And because he loved me, I love him. That's what Scripture says. But then you see the other arrow, don't you? You see the one of God's love going to others, and they don't know him yet. They don't know how much he loved him, and they don't love him back yet. But what God is asking us, those of us who have experienced the love of Christ, that would compel us to love others right where they're at. And that gives us this idea of us loving them the way He loves them. Not easy for us to do. Not easy for us to do. One of the things that hinders us is how we look at people in general. Here's some pictures I want to just put up there. I want you to just think, and you'll draw some conclusions on your own. But what do you feel? You don't have to answer out loud, but what do you feel when you see that? What about this? What emotion does that evoke? What thought does that picture evoke in you? This final one, I think, will probably, as we get there, to see what we do with people. The fact is, we judge. And we're not all that good at it, by the way. But we judge people. We judge them for how they look, what color they are, their size, their shape, their gender. We could go on and on and on. That's why it's hard for us. Because we're not looking at that person and how valuable they are the way Christ looks at them, the way that He loves them. Second Corinthians 5:16 says, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." So from now on, because of Christ's love for us and our love for others, His love for others, from now on we're going to stop judging people by the world standards. And how does the world judge people? We put people in classes. We find some people are more valuable than others. When we're looking around this room, when we meet people, when we see people, we make judgments. That's not how we should look at people. When we see someone, even if they look very different from us, even if they, perhaps, crazy enough, maybe they even have a different party affiliation than I do, what should I see? Do you think God's up there looking at conservative and liberals? When He looks down on us, what does He see? Someone that is so valuable to Him that He died for them. That's how we should be looking at people. That's what He wants. That's how His love can control us. That's why He would have us to do that. From now on, we're going to keep doing that and stop looking at people and making judgments that we should only judge them as someone who needs Christ's love, just like us. One of the themes last week that Denny talked about was protecting the innocent, protecting the weak, protecting the vulnerable, bringing justice to the vulnerable. You know why? Because what we do in relationships, when we recognize that we're living for ourselves versus living the way God wants us to, that my life is His, but I'm living how I want to, you know what I do? I look around for people who can help me, who can make my life better, more comfortable. Everybody's looking at me like, okay, thank you, Jeffrey. Man, one. Right? Don't we? We place value on people. That's not what He wants. The reason Scripture is full of things like protecting those who are vulnerable is because anybody with a little bit power will abuse the person with less. You can go to some of the poorest countries in the world, and I've been to some of them, and guess what? People that have nothing, and maybe even just almost can hardly survive, and someone has a little more power than them, and they'll still take what they have. That's how the world looks at other people, as a score, as a mark. And God's saying to us, not anymore. We're stopping that. We're stopping evaluating people the way the world does. I want you to look at them the way I see them. Valuable. Valuable enough to die for. And so when I'm recognizing my life is not my own, then I can enter into relationships because I love them and because God loves them. And I got news for you. If you enter into a relationship with someone who's going through a crisis, guess what? It's going to cost you. So if you're living for yourself, I would encourage you, stay away from them. If you want to stay away from people who are needy and stuff, stay away from all people. Because all of us need something. But if you recognize that your life is not your own, you recognize how much Christ loves that person, and you genuinely love them, you can enter in into that relationship and live life and carry those burdens. It's messy. It's hard. It will cost you. It won't cost you as much as it cost Christ, but it will cost you. But that's what he's wanting. Verse 17 continues. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here." The new life has come. Do we live that way? The old is past, and the new has begun. We are no longer separated from God. We've been reconciled to him. That's one thing that's happened. Well, what else is new? We have a new way of thinking. We have a new way of seeing people. We don't have to see them the way we used to see. We have a new way of seeing people. We have a new way of thinking. In fact, we have a new way of being. He made it new so that we could live and love people. No longer judging everyone that we see. Loving people because he loves them. Verse 18 says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." We're going to get to that ministry of reconciliation in a minute, but I want you to think that God is the one that reconciled us through Christ. He's the one that does the reconciling. So why did he need to? And what does reconciliation really mean? Let me read a definition to you. Reconciliation is the process of two people or groups in a conflict agreeing to make amends or come to a truce. It's restoring friendly relationship between people. We need to be reconciled because ever since the fall in Genesis chapter 3, in the garden, Adam and Eve, who had right relationships with each other and right relationship with God, they were friends, to say it that way, and Adam and Eve decided they wanted to be like God. They became their own little gods, and when they did that, it was broken. The right relationship was broken. They were no longer had that same relationship with God, and so they hid from him. They didn't have the relationship with each other, so they covered themselves. Everything is broken, and from that point, all of us who have been born into this world, guess what? We are born outside of a right relationship with God. And I know a lot of people, and I was taught when I was a kid, hey, we're all God's children. Everybody's God's children. I don't believe that to be true. What I believe is that we're all God's creation. And every human being has tremendous value. Value enough that Christ would die for him. But the way that we get reconciled, the way we become part of the family of God, is actually placing our faith and trust in Christ. Because otherwise, we're still separated. Romans 5:10 tells us, not only were we separated from God and have a broken relationship, we actually acted like his enemies. That's why we take this message of reconciliation, so things can be made right with God, so it can be made right with other people. The only way for us to have that right relationship with God is by placing our faith in Christ. And that leads us to this idea then of what is our role? What is our mission? Based on the love that we have for Christ, his love for us, our love for others, that our life is not our own, that he gives us a ministry of seeing other people reconciled to himself. Verse 19 says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Your purpose, the reason you're still here, is right here. So that you would take this message of how people can be reconciled to God. That's the message. That's the life on mission. And I think the difference between the message of reconciliation, those are actually the words. That's actually the truth that we share and we speak into people's lives. Who Christ is, their need for him, what he's done for them, how much he loves them. That's the message. But what's the ministry of reconciliation? I believe the ministry of reconciliation is how we live our life. The way that we live our lives. That we're being a reflection of Christ. We're being a reflection of someone who has experienced the love of Christ and is secure in that love. And therefore they can love other people. That they care about those who are being abused. They care about those who have less. They care about others. They're wanting to live in a way that God would live if he lived on this earth by setting things right. We've been given the mission to live that out. The ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation, which is the gospel. It's the good news. That yes, even though we're born separated, we're alienated from God, we have no way to help ourselves but Christ. But Christ came and he died for our sins. And we're forgiven. And then we enter into a right relationship with God. 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." This says, as though God were making his appeal through us. I got news for you. He is. He is making an appeal to this world about who he is, and he is using us. And sometimes I wonder why. Why he would limit himself to us to proclaim this message, to live this way. He knows how broken we are, how needy we are, how petty we are, how easily distracted we are. He knows all of that, and yet he still chose to use us. He gives us tremendous purpose in life. An ambassador, we have an idea what that is. The term hasn't changed much, and the idea hasn't changed much. It's just somebody who's representing someone else in another country, one government to another. Guess what? We are all ambassadors. You're an ambassador for Christ. This is not your home. We are foreigners in this country, every one of us, and we are representatives in this world from another kingdom. And we're representing Christ. We're his ambassadors. How well are you representing him? I can tell you stories of times where I was a very lousy ambassador. I wasn't representing him at all. I was representing myself. Just a few years out of high school, I was at a party and met a guy that I'd known for a long time, and we started talking, and I began to share my faith. Wanted to share the message of reconciliation with Brad. And I knew Brad fairly well, and he looked at me kind of funny, but he listened politely as I was talking about what Christ was to me. And this is what he said. "I didn't even know you were religious. My life didn't look any different than his. Or anybody else's that was there. I was a lousy ambassador. Thankfully, God didn't recall me on the spot and say, yeah, you blew that one, and a lot of other ones, right? And I tried to explain, well, my relationship is different than religion. I don't believe in religion either. I believe in a relationship with Christ. But I've carried that with me. I did not represent Christ well at all. And the reason I didn't was because I was living for myself. I wasn't living my life as if it was his, and that I was bought with a price, that the new life I have was his to use however he wanted. I thought it was for me to now enjoy life. And yes, I cared about Brad enough to share with him, but I didn't love him enough or love him more than myself, because what I was interested in was having a good time. I thought more of having a good time and being accepted and being cool and having all of this stuff and living this lifestyle. I thought that was more important than Brad. And by the way, anybody else. And that's what God is calling us to do. Live this new life. His power, his strength, his love. You and I have a responsibility. We are His representatives here. So maybe think about that when you're online. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever your vice is. And by the way, those are all vices. When you're speaking with people, you are representing Christ, not yourself. We should be living our lives in a way that we can, through what they see in us, we can appeal to them, that we can share with what we have, the most important thing in our lives, the most life-changing thing that we have, we can share with them, and that is Jesus Christ. To see people the way God sees them. To love people and befriending them, and again, wading into the messiness of their life and your own, so that they can see the love of Christ. Final verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When Paul says the believers become God's righteousness, he means that they become an expression of God's characteristic. So yes, we're declared righteous when we come to faith in Christ, but this is something different. This is how you are looking. When people see you, do they see the righteousness of Christ? Do they see Christ in you? Or just you? Make no mistake, even if you're a lousy ambassador like I have been many times, and probably will be again, the people are not needing you to be perfect. They don't need to see you and say, man, there's perfection. No, no, no. What they need to see when they look at you is Jesus. That's what they need to see. They need someone broken and flawed that loves them. Loves them the way Jesus loves them, through thick and thin and difficulties and hardship and pain, to carry their burdens the way Christ does. The relationships we have, no one should ever be a project or a challenge or a mark. They should just be someone that we love because they're so valuable. Valuable enough for Christ to die for. We have this tremendous privilege of being His ambassadors, representing Him and taking His message, and also the burden. And that's why we don't do it on our own. We have the very Spirit of God living inside of us, and He's doing a work in our heart. And by the way, He's working on them too.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at www.warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.